resources there. It's a burnout prevention and recovery tool. And I, in the book, I show you three markers of spiritual vitality and talk about how you lose them and how to get them back. And so that's in there. So also, this really is a compilation or a boiling down of the things I've learned working with people over the last 10 years in the whole area of burnout, discouragement, despair, and helping people recover. And so you'll get some of those insights there. It's an interactive book, so there's questions you can work through, and there's a process to go through to kind of recover your spiritual vitality. So this is all in the book. They're available at the back. There you can see them at the end of the service. Well, as you were here last week, so those of you who were here last week, you know I spoke from the life of Elijah or Elisha. Elisha is one of my favorite Bible characters, if not the favorite. And one of the reasons is that years ago when I started out in ministry, I started out as an associate pastor over there in Sexsmith. And then the senior pastor decided it was time for him to move along. And I came to a place where I was praying about my future and what God would have for me. And how do I respond? And it was at that time where the life of Elisha really became important to me. And I just love his character. And I love that he prayed for a double portion. Actually, when the senior pastor left and I was going, I was actually praying for a double portion. I don't think I knew all what that meant at that time. But I was praying for that. But if you look in the scriptures, Elijah was this dynamic, fire-throwing, as it were, prophet. And he prayed and the rain stopped and there was famine. He prayed and the rain came. He prayed and the fire fell from heaven and he judged the prophets of Baal. It was just a very dynamic, powerful ministry. But after him came Elisha, and we will have the transition that we're talking about today. And Elisha came with a very different kind of ministry. Elijah would be out in the wilderness, and also he'd come back and make this dramatic pronouncement. Shake things up. Elisha lived among the people. And so he spent his time interacting with people and meeting the needs as they came along. Now, zoom over into the New Testament. And we have the first guy breaking on the scene is John the Baptist, who actually was, we were alerted that he was coming through the ministry of Elijah. And John the Baptist lived out in the wilderness, and then he would come to town and preach these fiery sermons. And then who followed John the Baptist? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lived among the people and did all these things. So when you think of Elijah and Elisha, we actually see pictures of what's coming. And it's beautiful. It's amazing, actually. But I want to talk today about getting started. This is when Elisha is getting started. And so I'd like you to stand. We're going to read when things started for Elisha. If you would stand and read with me, let's read. There's three verses here. So it says, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving up the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Getting started. One of the great principles of impacting the lives of others is in these verses, and we're going to discover that today. You may be seated. In these verses, there's really two parts. And the first part was simply this. God is coming to Elisha, and he is saying this: I've got a job for you. Interesting how it unfolded. A cloak on the shoulder. Elisha is out plowing in the field, has a big farming operation. It's spring season, I suppose. They're breaking the ground for putting the seed in the soil. And all of a sudden, Elijah, who's just had this terrible time of despair on Mount Carmel, he's had this terrible time of despair, and God tells him to go anoint Elisha. So Elijah comes walking across the broken ground, takes his cloak, and throws it on the shoulders of Elisha. It was simply a way of God saying to him, I've got a job for you. You're going to be taking over from Elijah. It had unexpected timing, I think. You're plowing, you're getting ready to plant for the year. It's not really the time you think. You're not sitting around meditating, God, give me a call. You're busy. The whole enterprise is resting on what you're doing right now. But it was in that unexpected time that God came with this job. Have you ever noticed that sometimes God's jobs come to you when you're in the middle of everything? A whisper of the Spirit while you're busy. Interesting, Warren Wiersbe said, have you noticed in the Bible that God usually calls people who are busy? Moses was caring for the sheep. Gideon was threshing the wheat. Peter and James and John were busy in their fishing business. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. God calls people who are busy. Unexpected time. Has there been any unexpected timing in your life lately? Someone coming and throwing a cloak on your shoulder. But I also want to notice that it's spiritually discerned. Elisha knew right off the hop that this is God's assignment for him. There was something in his heart that recognized what God was doing. Not every cloak that people throw on you is a job from God. A lot of people have a wonderful plan for your life that may not be God's plan for your life, right? And they will come and they'll try to throw a cloak on you. Or we throw a cloak on ourselves. Have you ever found that looking back, man, I gave myself that assignment, but I don't think that was really a God assignment. Sometimes we throw a cloak on ourselves. Well, there was something in Elisha that he discerned off the hop that this was of God. Matthew Henry writes, I love his phrase, an invisible hand touched his heart and unaccountably inclined him by a secret power without external persuasions to quit his farming and give himself to the ministry. There was something going on in his heart. And he discerned that this was a call of God. But the point I want to make in this first section of this text is that God comes to us and he says, I've got a job for you. Now, this whole job assignment thing has been going on a long time. It's actually been going on in the Godhead. Did not the Father say to the Son, I've got a job for you? I want you to go to earth and die on the cross for all the people like us and the other 7 billion in this world and all who have come before. God the Father gave God the Son a job. Interesting, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I send you. So Jesus is in that business passing it along. But Jesus also gave the Holy Spirit a job. He talks about that in John 16. I will send the Spirit. He will glorify me. He will lead you into truth. So this whole job assignment thing actually has taken place in the Godhead. And it takes place in your and my life. I've noticed that God gives long-term assignments, and he gives short-term assignments. Elisha was getting a long-term assignment here. For the rest of his life, he was going to be the prophet in Israel. A long-term assignment. My current assignment has lasted 10 years doing Refresh Ministries. And some people have assignments that have lived, gone a long time all their life. But they're short-term assignments. They're assignments that take a minute. God puts on our, I want you to call so-and-so and encourage them. It's a little God job. Doesn't take long, but it's a God job. Some take a minute, some take a few weeks. Think of Philip in the book of Acts, who all of a sudden the Lord spoke to him and said, you need to go down to Gaza. We're going to move you to Gaza. You're going to meet this guy in the chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch. And he shared Christ with him. That was the only time he did it, and it didn't take long. It was a short-term assignment. God gives jobs. He gives jobs. God says, I've got a job for you. Have you happened to be turning down jobs? I know sometimes I've turned down jobs. There's one that I really regret. Years ago, when I was in Ethiopia, it was under communist rule. We were doing famine relief, and so the church was underground. They had to meet in secret. And they were persecuted. And we got invited to go to this church meeting that was being held in secret. And they asked if I would speak. And I was just a young whippersnapper. And I thought, who am I to speak to these people who have stripes on their back for the persecutions they have faced? And I said, no, I can't. So we went there. And out of the back room came this man who had stripes on his back from beating. He carried out the Bible like it was the crown jewels. Tattered, worn, precious. And then another member of our group stepped up and gave a message. And I'm sitting there thinking, I could have done that and I could have done better. It was terrible. But I turned down a God job. Have you been turning down God jobs? God gives jobs. Might be long term, might take a minute. What was Elisha's response to this God job? Elisha then left his oxen, ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Elisha's response was simply this. I'm all in. You got a job for me? I'm all in. The oxen, they're going. I'm burning my plow. And I'm following. I'm all in. And as he went all in, it opened up the incredible ministry. Do you know that there are 17 miracles recorded about Elisha? Amazing, amazing impact. No, I don't know what God wants to do through you and I. It's all different according to our assignment. But this was the door opener. God says, I got a job for you, and Elisha says, I'm all in. Let me ask you, are you all in? I'm going to give you a little test based on the text. Are you ready? Just giving you a hard time. Okay. First one. Am I willing to say goodbye? Am I willing to say goodbye? Elisha went and said goodbye to his family. One commentator said, Elisha at once made a clean break from home ties, but the way he did it raised up his family affection. It seems that Elisha had a close and caring relationship with his parents, and he honored them with this farewell banquet. But though he loved them, he was willing to say goodbye to them to carry out his God job. This is a key principle because it is here where some of God's people falter in being all in with God. Henry Blackaby, in his book, Hearing God Speak, says this: there are times when your most dangerous counsel will come from those who care about you the most. Just as Peter misguidedly tried to prevent his friend Jesus from going to the cross, so your friends and family may try to dissuade you from following God's will. Why? Because they don't want you to get hurt. Concern, even voiced by those who love you, can be a subtle instrument of Satan. He goes on to say, tragically, often those who care about you the most will be the greatest hindrance to your following God's will. Isn't that something? Your family and friends don't want to watch you make the sacrifices. And he goes on to say, when you know God's will for you, you must not let anyone distract you by claiming they have a different word from God. Measure their words against what you know God has said and hold on tenaciously to what you know to be God's will. Hannah Whitehall Smith wrote this: you must learn that in order to be a disciple and follower of the Lord, you may perhaps be called upon to forsake inwardly all that you have, even father, mother, or brother, or sister, husband, or wife, or it may be your own life also. Unless the possibility of this is clearly recognized, you will be very likely to get upon difficulty, because it often happens that the child of God who enters on the life of obedience is sooner or later led to paths which meet the disapproval of the ones who best love them. Jesus had an interesting experience. The Gospels tell us, while Jesus was talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus' family wanted to have a word with him, but he let them know he had a higher authority. If you're all in, it's going to involve, at some point in time, a willingness to say goodbye. Not necessarily in, I'll never see you again, but in terms of, my allegiance is to Christ. One of the things that I've talked with pastors about a number of times is the process of Jesus going from the Last Supper to Gethsemane, where he says, not my will, but yours be done. You'll notice that as he leaves the Last Supper, he's with the crowd, the other 10 or the 11 disciples. He leaves a number of them and goes with the three a little farther into Gethsemane and wants them to pray along with him. He goes back and they're asleep. He gets them going. He goes back on his own. Goes back to them. They're asleep. He says, rest on. But it's as he is alone with the Father in the garden where he 3 says, not my will but yours be done. And a lot of times we want to bring everybody with us in what we're called to do. Are you willing to say goodbye? Are you willing to release your securities? Elisha had it going on. He's driving the 12th pair of oxen. That was a big farming operation. He had all the corn and all the beef he could ever eat all his life. He could even have corned beef sandwiches if he wanted. He had securities. Can you imagine if Elisha went to Elijah and said, what's your security plan for me? And Elijah would say, well, first we have the raven plan. I went down to the brook Cherith and the ravens brought me meat and bread. And then when that ran out, God gave me the widow plan, where I went down to be with that widow who only had a little bit of flour left, was going to eat it and die. Whoa. And Elisha looks at his farm. I got an inheritance there. Even if things go bad, there's 11 guys that are going to get fired before me. Pretty secure. There's various securities that we have that we find hard to give up, to say to God, I'm all in. And one of the securities is our reputation. We love to have people think well of us. We don't want them to misunderstand what we're doing or to think that, what would they think if I actually talked to them about Jesus? Am I willing to serve? Am I willing to serve? He became Elisha's servant. I don't know exactly what all it entailed. Historians try to put together how long he was doing this. We're probably thinking between 6 and 10 years is the figure I got. So for years, he is working with Elijah. He's carrying his bag. He's setting up the tents. In 2 Kings chapter 3, when it talks about Elisha, he's actually called on to help in this situation where there's this crisis of water, and the kings are asking, is there some prophet that can give us the word of the Lord? And one of them says, well, Elisha's here. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, this is what Elisha was known for being a servant. And at this time, when they were calling on him, he had already used his mantle to strike the Jordan and it divided. He had already healed the water in Jordan, like I talked about last week, or in Jericho. That's not in a bad resume, is it? But isn't it interesting how they labeled him? He poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was willing to serve. We know that our Lord Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Am I willing to serve? I directed Bear Lake Camp for 4 summers back in the early 90s. And I always wondered, well, I shouldn't say always wondered, I was always looking for a servant attitude among the staff. And I discovered that the best way to find out who had a servant attitude was to assign them to clean the washrooms. It seemed to clarify things fairly quick. Let me ask you, are you all in? Has God been putting a job on your heart? Are you all in? The point I want to make today is that when God gives you a job, go all in. Elisha went all in. And you see when he took over the mantle, starting in 2 Kings, he uses his mantle, whack, hits the Jordan River, it divides. He goes to Jericho, and God gives him a word, and the water of Jericho is healed. He goes from there, which is my favorite story in all the Bible, and the young people are mocking him, and they're saying, go up, bald head. I don't know why that story resonates with me, but anyway, for some reason it does. And he speaks, and God brings discipline that is needed. And on the story goes. But it got started here. When God gave him a job, he went all in. We can think of someone else who went all in. Our Lord Jesus went all in. You see him in John chapter 17. He's praying and he's saying, Father, glorify me with the glory I had before. There's this cry of his heart. He's come to such a place of lack of glory, and he's lived among us. He was on the cross, crucified for us. He was all in. And so my encouragement to you today is simply this. Do you want to make a difference in other people's lives? Do you want to be used by God as an instrument to advance his kingdom? Wherever you're working, wherever you're serving, wherever you're living. It's simple. Listen for God's jobs. And then go all in. God bless you.
Thank you, Lyndon. I'll ask you to stand and join us, and let's go all in on this song.
Strength and glory and power be. and I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to